The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Good morning again. Thank you so much for being here for worship. It is awesome to see every one of y'all. Man, I'm excited about today. Just excited today. So, we're going to look this morning at a passage of scripture that is probably so familiar, and honestly, if you've ever been around church, you've heard it probably multiple times before. But in the process of going through these stories that I've heard before, and probably you've heard before, it's interesting how God has shown me different things. And I'll tell you, I'm trying to think of when I'm supposed to tell you this story, and I don't have it in my notes, so I'm just going to go ahead and start with this story, and we'll go from there. Kelsey and I got the privilege of going and spending some time in Gulf Shores two weeks ago sometime with her family. I don't know. And one night we got the kids in bed. Sorry. We got the kids in bed, and she said, "Are you good?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I just want to go sit outside on the little balcony, and like, I just want to go sit outside." And I'm a Florida kid. I grew up surfing, man. That's my heart. And if I could tell you how much time I spent at the beach as a kid, like, there, it was endless time at the beach. And so I said, I just want to go be by the beach. It was our last day. I was going to go sit by and just listen to the sound. And I was sitting there, and I had like my earbuds in, and I was listening to some praise and worship music. And the song I was singing, or was listening to, was talking about how faithful God is. And I was sitting there, and I was like, man, what I wouldn't give to go back to 16-year-old John and tell him, "Hey, dude, listen, when you get here, this is what you're going to be doing. You're going to be packed." Y'all, as a 16-year-old, I remember sitting in a church like this. My dad was a pastor, so I could go to the church whenever I wanted to. So I got to go into the church after everybody was gone, and I would sit in the church, and I would look, and I would be like, "God, one day, I want to share your word with the church." Amen. And I remember, like, sitting there and thinking, like, that's never going to happen as a 16-year-old. Because of stupid things I did or mistakes I made, maybe, or like, it just seems so far away. And I remember thinking about things like having a career and having a family and having a wife and all those different things. As a 16-year-old, I never thought any of that stuff was actually really possible. And it seemed like the struggles I was facing at 16 were going to stop me from ever getting there. Now, I know, looking back as a 40-year-old, how stupid and how foolish that was to think that, like, the problems I was facing then were really that serious. But man, as I was sitting there and I was listening to all the time I spent at the beach as a kid, and I was listening to those waves crash, I was like, man, if I could do anything, I'd go back and I'd tell that kid, it's going to be all right. You're going to get there, man. God's got some great stuff in store for you. And I always believed as a kid, but I never could see how it was going to pan out. Y'all know what I mean by that? And here's what I found as I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about what I would love to tell 16-year-old John, which the list goes on and on of stupid things that John did as a 16-year-old that he should have told. I should have told myself, don't do these. The one thing I wanted to tell him was this. Hey, listen, your foundation's good. Your foundation's good. There's going to come some stuff. It's going to shake you. It's going to move you. It's going to cause you to question some things, but you're going to wrestle through it, and you're going to find out that your foundation is good. And so that led me to this scripture, and it's in Matthew chapter 7. It's a parable that Jesus tells, and we've heard a dozen times probably. But this morning, I just want to work through it, and I want to point some things out to you that stood out to me as I read through this time and time again over the past couple weeks. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, it starts out, Jesus says this, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, they slammed against the house, yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." When Jesus finished saying these words, the crowd was amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, not as their scribes. Again, it's a familiar story. It's a story we've heard if you've ever been around church. It's the story of the parable that Jesus tells of the two builders, the two foundations. And so this morning, just real quickly, I want to work through it and point some things out. The wise man built his house on the rock. Very good. Real simple, real easy, not real complicated stuff. Why did he build his house on the rock? Why is that important? Because his foundation was solid, right? If you go to and you build on rock, you're building on something that's solid. So, again, not groundbreaking information. Now, I will say this. This is something that you may not have noticed. It took work to build his foundation on the rock. If you read this passage in Luke, it says this. There they are like a man who building his house, who dug down deep and laid a foundation on the rock. See, a lot of times we think that foundation is given to us. But it's not. Again, how many of you have a legacy of church from your parents, grandparents, somebody like that? Okay. Now, just because you have a legacy or you have somebody in your life who poured into you, does that mean that it's your foundation? No. All that means is, listen, they gave you the tools, they gave you the information, they gave you the shovel, but you had to be the one who dug down deep, who did the work to establish your own foundation. Because if I can tell you something, church, if your foundation is resting on that of your grandparents, your parents, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, somebody other than the work that you have put in yourself to build your foundation on Christ, it's not going to stand. Because it's not your foundation, you're building on somebody else's. And that's not going to work. So maybe this is simple, maybe this is not, but the fact that the person had to dig down deep, they had to put in some work. I'm amazed as I talk to people and as I encounter different people, how many people have said this, I don't know how to read the Bible. And you may not be brave enough to admit that, but anybody ever felt like that? They read a passage and all of a sudden it's like, I don't get what this says. This makes zero sense to me whatsoever at all. And that's not a bad thing, but what that it means is that it takes some work. Hey, no, not a shameless, loving plug for Wednesday night. Love our Wednesday night Bible study. You know why I love our Wednesday night Bible study? It teaches us how to read the Bible together. Because what we do is we come in, we read a passage, and we say, all right, what's this say to you? And all of a sudden, as other people start to talk, it's like, yeah, I can see that. That makes sense. I get what they're saying. That makes sense to me. And all of a sudden, their thoughts are your thoughts. And the next thing you know, you're talking. And before you know it, you're understanding how to read the Bible on your own because God has given you His Spirit inside that's guiding you and directing you. But the idea is this, if all you do is just wait for somebody to give you spiritual food, what's going to happen? You're going to starve. Sometimes it takes work on your part to dig down, to figure out how to study the Bible, to want to study the Bible, to dig into God's Word on your own, not just from what comes up here or what you get in Sunday school or anything like that. Sometimes it takes you putting in the work to dig down and establish your foundation. All right. The second thing that kind of stood out to me, again, going through this thing, is this. It stood the storms of life. If you go back and you read, you see where the rains came down, the floods, the rivers came up, the winds came from every side. Maybe this is a bit of a stretch, but isn't it interesting the direction that these things come from? Rain comes from where? Up. River, floods come from where? Down. Winds come from where? Side. All around. It's interesting to me because of this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7 says this, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have suffered all kinds of grief and trials. These have come that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though it may be refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Do y'all ever think that God sends circumstances and situations in your life sometime to test your faith? Sure. James chapter 1. The testing of your faith may prove. Oh gosh, that's my life verse and I just forgot it. That's terrible. Forgot my life this morning. Yeah, God sends us trials. God allows rains to come down on our life to all of a sudden to wash away things that don't need to be a part of our life, right? Y'all ever have internal struggles that come up where all of a sudden like something comes up from underneath you and deep down inside you and all of a sudden you're left questioning everything and it's like, where did this come from? But it's this inner struggle that you're going through that's wiping away all the bad stuff in your life and through that you're establishing a firmer foundation. And then all of a sudden, Ever have those winds that come from every which direction? Everything from life just hits you from every different way. And so many times it's easy to view our circumstances as God's punishment. But I wonder this morning if those circumstances isn't God wiping everything away that doesn't need to be there. Sometimes those winds God allows to come into our life to clean our life out, to help refine what's there, and to prove the genuineness of our faith. It never said the man didn't receive damage. If you go back and you look at Matthew's passage, it said his house did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. His house may have stayed intact. Doesn't mean he didn't lose some shutters. Doesn't mean he didn't have some roof damage. Didn't mean that some of the storms didn't wipe some of the stuff away in his life that maybe didn't need to be there. But his foundation never moved. His foundation was always intact. When all else may have been washed away, his foundation didn't move. Then you contrast that with a foolish man. The foolish man builds his house on the sand. Again, you saw the passage there, Matthew 7, 26 through 27. Now, what's the problem with it building your house on the sand? It falls down, right. Now, notice this too. It said he built his house on the sand. Now, when I'm picturing this, I'm picturing like real soft sand, like you step on it and it moves, right? But the dude was able to build a house on it. So it obviously had some stability, it had some structure, it had some firmness to it, because he was able to actually construct the house. I think a lot of times when we think this, we think of that soft sugar sand that just like pushes out from under your feet. But I don't think that's the kind of sand that it was. It was some kind of firm sand. It had some stability. It had some bearing to it. But the problem was the sand moved. Over time, over the course of storms, over the course of whatever, the sand itself moved. And so while it may have appeared sturdy or it may have appeared firm at first, the sand moved and it shifted. That caused his foundation to shift. The foolish man built his house on the sand. His foundation shifted. Why? Because there was nothing holding it in place when the storms came. Luke chapter 6, verse 49. Anyone who hears these words and doesn't obey them is like a person who builds their house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. When this happens, all was washed away. One translation of this says that its destruction was complete. In other words, this wasn't just a sweeping away of the things that don't need to be there. This was a complete and total sweeping away of everything. Nothing this guy had was left standing. So that led me to the question, what's a firm foundation? Like we can agree on that. We can all say, hey, listen, great, good story, John. Heard that 1,000 times. The wise man built his house on a rock. I need to build my house on a rock. Fantastic. That's wonderful. Great. Let's go home. Right? Almost. It's a joke. Here's some things just in closing. We're going to start a series over the next couple of weeks of faithful foundations. Where this is in Scripture is vitally important. This comes at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus' one recorded sermon that we have in its entirety in all of Scripture. And so what happens is Jesus is saying, hey, all the things I just talked about, the person who builds their life on all the things I just talked about is a wise person. The foolish person hears those things, but they build their house on something different. And so we're going to look over the next couple of weeks at what a faithful or a firm foundation is by going all the way back and starting at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount and working our way through it step by step to see what some of these faithful foundations are. But before we go there, I want to point out a couple things. What was his foundation on? Rock. Jesus, the rock. Okay. Notice it didn't say that his faith was in his digging ability. I'm a good digger. I mean, if you ever need a hole dug, Call somebody else. No, they used to make fun of me. I worked with the water company for a little while, and they used to make fun of me because they said, you don't got enough backside to dig a hole. I never understood what that meant. But like, I would sit there with my shovel, man. I'd put all the weight I had in to try and dig these holes. And then we had a big guy that worked with us named Turbo. Turbo wasn't fast for anything, I'll just tell you that. But Turbo would get there in like one step on the shovel, and Turbo would go down like 6 feet, and he'd be like, that's how you dig a hole. I'm like, how did you do that? But notice this guy's faith wasn't in his digging ability. It wasn't, hey, listen, man, I dug a really good hole. The hole is what made this house. The hole is really where it's at. See, what that looks like for us is it's in our works. Salvation, our foundation, is in our works. All of a sudden, what we did, our part that we play in our Christian life, is way more important than anything else. And I know there's none of us here this morning that would agree to that, right? Hey, listen, I messed up really bad last week. I know what I'll do. I'm going to serve extra this time. When that tithing play comes around, I'm going to put extra $5 in so maybe Jesus will forget what I did the other day. Or we do things like we try to earn our salvation, we try to earn our love, and our faith at that point isn't in the foundation, it's in ourselves. It wasn't in his building ability. Any good builders? Good builders? We need you for Ram Weekend. Sorry, not really. I don't think we're building any houses, are we?
We can use you.
We can use you. There you go. That works. But notice his faith wasn't in his building ability. It wasn't, hey, listen, this plan, this structure, my future is really secure because of how good of a builder I am. You don't know anybody like that, do you? Hey, listen, I know I've got to be a church. I know church is important. But right now, I've really got to work really hard at my job to secure my job. Because if I can secure my job, then I can secure my future. If I can secure my future, then in the future, God's going to allow me to do more things. And I'm going to be able to be more generous with giving to the church. I'm going to be more able to be active in the church. I'm going to be able to do those things differently. But right now, my job, I really have to focus on it because that's the most important thing right now. You don't know anybody like that, do you? Hey, my kids, my family, like, one day I know I'm going to be, they're going to, but right now, hang on. Nope, don't do that. Right now, it's super important. I've got to make sure that they're involved in everything, and I've got to pour into them, and so they've got stuff that's going on, and so my tendency is to make their stability. They need to be well-rounded, and so they need to be involved in a lot of different things, and that's the priority, is making sure that my family is secure, is safe. Hey, if that's you, your faith isn't in your foundation. Your faith is in your structure that you're building for your future. I told you that this came to me as I was sitting there on the beach. Plans 16-year-old John had for himself, very different. Didn't know where Morrisport, Louisiana is. Had no clue. Had no clue who my future wife was going to be. Had no clue I was going to have 3 daughters and a son. Had no clue I was going to pastor an awesome church like y'all. God's so good. God's so good. But hey, listen, you know what happens? If my faith was in my plans, then all of a sudden when God started to shift and God started to move and God started to take things away, I would have stopped. I wouldn't have kept going. I would have said, time out. This isn't what I signed up for, God. I'm a beach kid. You're sending me to the middle of the hottest place in all of creation, I think. There's not a beach anywhere close to here, man. What are you doing? But there again, see, that was my plans. That was my future. My faith was in my structure. And so what God had to do is God had to slowly sweep those things away and get me down to say, hey, listen, John, your foundation is what matters. You're building the structure that you build, the future you may build, it may change from time to time. I bought a house in Cleveland, Tennessee. Why? Because I thought I was going to live in Cleveland, Tennessee my whole life. My wife was from Cleveland, Tennessee. I had a good job in Cleveland, Tennessee. It wasn't close to anything. I mean, we weren't close to the beach, but the river gods are kind of like beach people, so we were friends with them. All of a sudden, God said, no, that's not where you're supposed to be anymore. Rainsville, man, I love Rainsville, Alabama. They were good people. We had lots of friends. We were involved in lots of different things. Life was good. We were looking at buying a house. We were like, hey, man, next year, this time, we've got to buy a house. And all of a sudden, God says, no, That's not your structure that you need to build, man. Sweep back. Let me take you down to your foundation. What's your foundation? God, it's you. That's all I've got is you. And so what happens and what I'm going to encourage you with, church, is this. Maybe you're in that season right now where God's sweeping things away. And you don't understand it, and you don't like it, and you don't get it. But let me encourage you with this. If your foundation is firm, if your foundation is in Christ and Christ alone, He's going to let you build something remarkable. He's going to trust you just to say, hey, listen, this is what I'm going to build, and this is what I'm going to establish. And it's not going to be based on my building ability. It's not going to be based on my works. It's going to be based solely on faith in the standard of the rock. When you go back and look at that story, that's what his faith is in. His faith isn't on his building, isn't on how deep his hole is. His faith is on the fact that this rock will support his house. I think a lot of us as Christians, we've heard that story time and time again. But man, we start to move our foundation a little bit and say, hey, listen, this sand over here, it's sturdy. It's good enough for right now. Or when our storms come, we start to get upset and we start to try and hang on to our house and hold everything together in place. When really, God's trying to use that to wipe you down to your foundation. To say, this is what matters. And this is all that matters. I hope you'll join us. Listen, invite somebody to come with you next week. We're going to go back. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start with the Beatitudes. Because what it's, Jesus says is important. If we're going to build our life on something wise, it's got to be his teaching and his sayings. So we're going to look at his teaching starting in Matthew chapter 5, working all the way through to this scripture at the end of Matthew chapter 7. Invite somebody to come with you, man. We'd love to have them be here. And what better gift could you give somebody than a good foundation? God, thank you so much for today, Lord. We thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the chance to read your word. God, we thank you for the fact that what this word means to us. It's not just letters put together on a page. Father, this is you speaking to your children, sharing with us that our foundation needs to be you and nothing else. Lord, this morning, for the person who may have been putting their faith in something else, God, whether it's their saving faith, whether it's the sustaining faith of just day-to-day life, God, they're trusting and they're putting all their eggs in the basket of anything other than you. Father, they're putting it on their good works. They're putting it on their future plans. They're putting it on their things that they're establishing. This morning, God, I pray that you would help us to have those plans, but to hold on to them loosely. Lord, to trust not our plans and our work, but our foundation. Father, this morning, if there may be one here who, God, they didn't build their life on that foundation. Father, as the storms have come and as the waves have crashed and as all these different things have happened, God, they're sitting amongst a pile of rubble wondering what happened. But God, they never built a foundation of faith and trust in you for their life. This morning, I pray that this would be the morning that they would come to faith in you. That they would come and they would, during this time of worship and response, that they would say, I need to build my life on a foundation of a saving grace of a Father who loved me enough to send his Son to die on a cross in my place. And faith in him and nothing else. Lord, I pray this morning that you would do what only you can do. Take words from a page and penetrate our hearts to move us in a position to walk closer with you. Lord, we ask that you would just help us to be obedient to what you're calling us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.